The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello there, I'm Peter Strachan. Welcome to another edition of Stockhead's Rock Yarn. BPH Energy is pursuing investments on several diverse fronts. To outline these opportunities and update on project developments, we're delighted to welcome David Breeze, who is the chairman of BPH Energy Limited. Welcome, David. Now, David, BPH is working with potential gas interests offshore New South Wales. And for context, can you just give the listener a quick update on the market for natural gas in New South Wales? Where do New South Welshmen get their gas from?
So New South Wales now produces no gas of its own. It's entirely dependent in the main source of gas on the Victorian offshore fields. It also gets gas from the north in Queensland, and it used to get gas from the Northern Territory and the Cooper Basin as well. But of course, the Bass Strait fields are now reducing in their output by 50%. That's an extraordinary amount, considered that they've produced 6 TCF over the last 60 years. And that tells you really how prospective the resource is in the PEP 11 area offshore, because it has a prospective recoverable resource of 6 TCF. And that makes it potentially extremely important in the whole of the East Coast gas supply requirements.
So what's the wholesale price for gas now in New South Wales? Do you have the recent numbers there?
Well, I can't be sure that my response is accurate on that, but I think it's around $12 a gigajoule.
Yeah, I know it varies, you're right. I mean, down to 8 some weeks and up to 12 or even more Australian dollars a gigajoule. So, yeah, it's despite the government's $10 cap, it's not actually working. So, look, through your 36.1% interest in Advent Energy, BPH has an interest in the PEP 11 joint venture. Now, that's in federal government-controlled waters off the coast of Newcastle. What's the status of the joint venture and how will BPH progress towards exploration there?
So we have an 85% interest in the JV and Bounty has a 15%. We have an application before NOPTA, which is the Federal Regulatory Authority for administration of permits. We are waiting for a suspension and extension request to be considered. That's under consideration by Ed Husic, the DESA Minister for Industry, because the Honourable Madeleine King, who is the Resources Minister, recused herself in the last several weeks. Subject to that being granted, and we think that that's becomes very important in the context of the future gas strategy announced today, then we will move to the environmental planning and approvals process and then into the rig contracting and drilling.
So what sort of time frame would all of that, the approvals process, have, and then actually getting a rig, what sort of water depth are we talking about and what sort of rig would be needed?
So we can use, I'll answer the last question first. We can use either a jack-up or a floater, and we are looking at and speaking to multiple parties who have either rigs in Australian waters currently or who are bringing rigs in under current contracts for operations in Australia. Now, dependent upon the timing of the approvals, and the environmental approval process itself, that will determine when we can actually look to the drilling, and that I can't give you a more accurate answer than that in the current framework. However, of course, the requirement for new sources of gas has been strongly outlined in the Future Gas Strategy paper released by the Minister for Resources strategy paper today. And it's very important, we think, that each of those elements be taken forward as rapidly as they can, because households, as you've pointed out, are paying too much for their gas at the moment. And we've already seen two or three industry closures as a result of insufficient gas and high energy costs. And that includes Incitec Pivot in Queensland, the Molycop steel operation in Newcastle, and most recently the Qenos closure of their plastics operations in both Botany in Sydney and also down in Victoria. All of those are indicators of the critical status and the need for more gas into the East Coast market. And we think that the Pepper Levin project can be part of that supply and provide part of that solution, remembering that the prospective resource, of course, is 6 TCF. And I'll put that in context again. That's around 6,000 petajoules as a prospective recoverable resource. And if you look at Bass Strait, they produced 6 TCF over the last 60 years. So the Future Gas Strategy today outlined that there would be a requirement for gas, including for power generation, out to 2050 and beyond. And, of course, Minister King has outlined today that she is looking for new gas supplies, most importantly to bring it, this pricing for gas, down to realistic and affordable levels for households. And that's very important for inflation and the current government strategies.
Yes, indeed. And you're right, there was a dedicated ethane pipeline going into Qenos there in the Botany Bay, and that's basically been closed down. So, and you've done seismic, and your seismic interpretation of the structure has all the sort of anomalous aspects which indicate gas. And you've also done a survey of the ocean floor there, which shows structures which are indicative of gas escapes previously. So you've got a lot of things going there for you on that front.
Yes, indeed. Geological and geophysical proving up has started as long ago as when Santos and Ampilex had this permit in the 1990 period. And at that time, Ampilex identified the prospectivity in around circa 1 TCF just on the Baleen drill target, where we're looking to go back into in this next phase of drilling, 26 kilometres out to sea and about 30 kilometres southeast of Newcastle. And of course, we would look to bring that resource into production as quickly as could be achieved. That can become part of a critical supply input into the New South Wales manufacturing and domestic market.
Yeah, I'm sure the market would welcome that, David. Now, just moving on, most recently, BPH has invested in a hydrogen technology company called Clean Hydrogen Technologies. Can you outline plans to develop this thermocatalytic pyrolysis technology, and where does it fit in the energy mix?
The process that you've just described takes natural gas and converts it into hydrogen and carbon. Most importantly, the carbon that it converts, or the conversion into carbon, remembering that you're just dealing with CH3 in that process, carbon and hydrogen. So the hydrogen becomes the fuel source that the federal government and worldwide markets are looking for. And a key element of the carbon production that we've discovered as we've gone through the phasing up of the production process in the CHT plant in India is that with the product that we're using in that part of the production process, we're actually producing a carbon alumina compound which is getting outstanding results in the trials that it's been undertaking there in India, with a high wear productivity, and it has applications across industrial uses and indeed paints and a whole range of areas.
So it's not graphene, but it has similar properties when added into polymers and various other areas.
Well, it's a carbon nanotube.
Okay.
If you think about carbon black as being the base product, if you will, but carbon nanotubes are a very high value. Now, we thought that we might be able to get $2 a kilogram for the carbon black, but in reality, the carbon nanotube product that we're producing has a multiple higher value, which we're trying to get a much better handle on at the moment from the trials that are being undertaken on.
Yeah. So what's the stage of commercialization of this? You're doing pilot work on it, and you're finding uses for the carbon sort of co-product, as it were.
So we've been through several phases. In fact, the first stage was the pilot, and then we moved into scale-ups, and we've now proven the process to the degree where we're moving to full-scale production as the next level of the development of this clean hydrogen technologies process.
And you're an investor in that. What's your interest in the company itself?
BPH has a 15.6% interest, and our investee, Advent, has a further interest. Collectively, between the two entities, we've got just under 20% interest in the company.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's going to be exciting from there. And the other thing we spoke about last time, which is a very interesting investment for the company, something completely different really, is that you've invested in a medical technology company called Cortical Dynamics. Now, can you tell us about this BARM, B-A-R-M technology and your plans to commercialize it?
BARM is a device that enables the monitoring of the EEG or the brainwave signals during anesthesia. The discovery that added additional value to it was that we were able to show that we were simultaneously, whilst monitoring the depth of anesthesia, monitor pain inputs into the cortex. And of course, the two elements of anesthesia during operations are that you are optimally anesthetized asleep, as well as the prevention of pain. And that's the element that we're now looking to prove up in the current series of planned trials. But of course, what we have is approval already on the BARM, the first phase of the BARM product, and we have that in the European Union, in USA most recently, in Korea, and of course in Australia and New Zealand. What we're doing now is doing an upgrade of the sensor, the DAM, which is the data processing component of it, as well as the screen, and we're putting those through a process to enable recognition by the regulatory authorities in each of those areas, so that the BARM Mark II then can be marketed on into those areas in the first instance, and then we'll look to put that into a much wider global marketplace.
Yeah, well, I'm sure anaesthetists around the world will be very keen to get their hands on this once it's a marketable product. So David, you've got these three areas of interest, and you've recently also picked up a permit in the Bonaparte Basin in the Northern Territory, where there's a known gas discovery.
In fact, with our RO1, that is in a retention lease, and it's been known about for some time. But the key point of for the development of that project is that the government, both state and federal, have now built a road to with a sealed 365-day-a-year access road within 4.5 kilometres of our discoveries at Weeba. And those discoveries at Weeba are conventional gas, and the importance of that is not just for the potential to supply gas into the local marketplaces, and we're the only potential supplier into there. But the Northern Territory, of course, is short gas, as we've seen from the closure of the NGP, or Northern Gas Pipeline, between Northern Territory and Eastern States in the last month. And the Northern Territory really needs more gas. Now, that may come from the Beetaloo, but potentially we could be part of that solution, because we are only about 80 or so kilometres from the Blacktip pipeline that goes from the Blacktip field into the Northern Territory. And, of course, the Northern Territory is currently taking gas from the Bayu-Undan project, but that's in the tail-out phase. And they're also having to take gas from the INPEX project. And, of course, that's taking away from product that might otherwise go to Japan to meet their energy transition needs.
Yeah.
So it potentially can become an important part of that energy supply mix. And, of course, we've already entered into an agreement with CHT to potentially use the hydrogen technology in the plant that could be placed up there at north of Karanara.
Yeah, so you're only 80 kilometres from Wadai, which is where the pipe comes ashore and to go to Darwin.
Quite so.
Yeah. Well, David, that's an interesting rundown. What can investors be looking for over the next 6 or 8 months towards the end to the end of 2024 in terms of news flow from the company?
Well, the first step, most importantly, is the PEP 11 approvals process, and we're currently awaiting the consideration of that from Minister Husic. And, of course, the other developments are in the approvals process and upgrading of the BALM technology. And on top of that, of course, we're looking to go to full-scale commercialisation of the hydrogen technology. So there's a lot of potential value uplift inflection points that investors can look at BPH for in the near future.
Yeah. Well, David, thanks for coming in and giving us that update. I think there's a lot of moving parts, and we've seen today Madeleine King with her very strong support for the gas industry out to 2050 and beyond. She sees it as a transition fuel, and certainly in New South Wales, they're running short, and in the Northern Territory they're running short. So you're in both places with potential to be supplying gas into those markets. So investors will be watching very closely over the next 7 or 8 months as we come towards the end of the year to see how those things all roll through.
And indeed, Victoria is also running short because of that downturn in production. So, yes, the PEP 11 project becomes potentially very important to that entire East Coast gas market.
Yeah, I know people are looking in the Otway Basin, but, yeah, you're right. There's the Gippsland Basin is in, like, terminal decline, and it's going to continue to fall away year by year from those fields.
So thanks for the opportunity to speak today. I did appreciate that.
All right, it's great for you to come in again, and I think investors will be watching closely on all four fronts for BPH Energy. Thanks for coming in.
Yes. Thank you indeed.